We've been working through this series talking about encounters with you because it's something we long for. When we're alone, just to know, really know that we're not actually alone. When we're down, just to know that you are there with us. When we're ecstatic, when beautiful things are happening, to know it's not just chance, that you are at work among us and around us. God, I just ask that as we engage with Scripture today, we would know that you are present with us, that in some small way, we would encounter you through our time together, whether it's through this message or through something that's already been said and sung or something that has been said from someone around us or just the hug that we've received. God, thank you for the many ways that you do encounter us. Help us to be open to seeing you in them. In Jesus' name, amen. Many years ago, I was working in a previous ministry context, and I got a call from a young woman in my church, and she was really, really struggling. The thing she was struggling with was the fact that she was doing everything right according to what she'd been taught, but she didn't encounter God the way she was told would be the result. She prayed the way she'd been taught. She participated in church programs. And in her context, most importantly, was every day she sat with Scripture open for her quiet time or devotions. And as she read the Bible, she was trying to get, you know, what's God's message for me from the pages of Scripture? But more often than not, she didn't get anything. And more often than not, when she prayed, she didn't hear anything. She was struggling because she was doing everything she was told to do. And she was told, this is how God's going to act towards you. And it wasn't happening the way the formula was laid out. And because of that, she was convinced there was something deeply and spiritually wrong with her. And her logic made sense to a certain extent. Because the promise that she'd received was a formula. It was, if you do these things, then certain results are going to come. You're going to encounter God in some special way. You're going to have a closer relationship with God. You're going to be blessed by God. God's going to speak to you in this way, whatever that way was. So that expectation was created. Then step two, she goes and follows that. She pours herself into it. Out of a desire for God, she pushed all the right buttons, did all the right things, and then didn't hear or feel God in ways that were consistent with what others had promised her. She didn't get clarity from the Bible the way others said she would. She didn't hear God in prayer the way others told her she would. And as I talked to her, it wasn't that she felt like God was distant. She'd just been promised something specific and special that didn't come. Day after day after day, when she did the things, day after day after day. And because she'd been promised this, and because she experienced this, their only obvious conclusion was that she was broken. She wasn't encountering God in significant and special ways, despite her efforts, so she was the problem. This morning, we're going to get into some things that I hope were helpful for her to think about and helpful for you to think about if sometimes you experience that. But I want to acknowledge that sometimes when we talk about divine encounters, you know, we read these stories and we hear about Hannah having this special somebody speaking into her life. Like we talk about these things, a lot of us may feel like she did. You know, we're talking about a divine encounter, but I don't feel that the way these people did, or the way that other people, when they tell their stories about encountering God, do. You may wonder why we don't regularly, if ever, encounter God like that. We're told that we should be open and even expectant to encounters with God, but we don't hear any voices. We rarely get specific impressions from God when we pray. When we read the Bible, we don't, like, things don't jump out as being just for us. Even coming to church, well, it might feel nice, doesn't feel transformative most weeks. We come and we're with people, but our lives aren't changed by most Sunday mornings in some super special way. Most of the time, even if it doesn't feel like God is distant, although that can feel that way sometimes, things hardly feel special enough to be considered a divine encounter. Things feel almost normal or non-remarkable. And because it doesn't seem special, it's sometimes easy to feel like something's wrong with us. At first glance, the story we're going to look at this morning may not seem to address this reality, but I think there's a deep truth in this person's encounter with God that might be an encouragement to us. Just to introduce the person, 2 weeks ago, Elise had us consider the life of Hannah, who was without child and came to the temple and just poured herself out to God in a way that made the old priests think she was drunk. Ultimately, the priests listened to her and offered a blessing to her, and God did indeed bless her with a child, several children, actually. But the first child she gave birth to, she had promised to give back to God by leaving him to serve at the tabernacle, that place where the Hebrew people encountered God together. And so when this firstborn son, Samuel, was weaned, she did indeed bring him back to the tabernacle, this young child, and leave him there to stay and work. And in 1 Samuel 2, we read that the boy Samuel grew taller and grew in favor with the Lord and with the people. When we get to 1 Samuel 3, that's the part we're going to be reading this morning, if you want to turn there. It will also be on the screen as well. But 1 Samuel 3 starts with a very interesting and somewhat predictive statement. Starts out by saying, "Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare and visions were quite uncommon." It's like the narrator is like, just so you can expect what's happening and understand that this is kind of strange, you know, the narrator at least wants us to understand that what is coming is not a normal everyday thing. And we jump into verse 2. "One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly the Lord called out, 'Samuel.'" Again, because of what was said in verse 1, we should obviously clue in that something unusual is happening here. God is speaking and calling Samuel, and God's call was so unusual that this is what Samuel's response was. It says, "Yes," Samuel replied, "what is it?" He got up and ran to Eli. "Here I am, did you call me?" Just in terms of the normalcy, I think it's interesting that Samuel here, just to Samuel, the voice of God sounds like Eli. It's kind of interesting. But it wasn't Eli, so the old priest replied. He says, "I didn't call you," Eli replied. "Go back to bed." So he did. Then the Lord called out again, "Samuel." Again, Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am, did you call me?" "I didn't call you, my son," Eli said. I'm sure he said it that calmly. "Go back to bed." I'm pretty sure I've said those exact words at some point. "I did not call you, my son, go back to bed." But after the second time that Samuel missed out on the fact that it's the voice of God, the narrator feels it's important to interject on Samuel's behalf. He writes, "Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called the third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. 'Here I am, did you call me?'" At this point, Eli clues in that something is going on. Maybe he's got a keen awareness of what's happening, or maybe he just comes out with this because he wants to keep Samuel away from him. I don't know. But he says, "Then Eli realized that it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, go and lie down again. And if someone calls again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed. And the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. It's the fourth time he's called. And Samuel replied, speak, your servant is listening. Now we can definitively call this an encounter with God. Samuel has heard God and then replies in conversation. This is something that many of us, probably most of us, have not experienced. But then it goes further as God continues to speak. Then the Lord said to Samuel, I am about to do a shocking thing in Israel. I am going to carry out all my threats against Eli and his family from beginning to end. I have warned him that judgment is coming upon his family forever because his sons are blaspheming God and he hasn't disciplined them. So I have vowed that the sins of Eli and his sons will never be forgiven by sacrifices or offerings. Now this sounds like an incredible message from God that this stuff is going to play out that's really bad. Until you actually look back quickly in chapter 2 and realize that God's already given Eli this message. This actually isn't anything new. As you continue to read through chapter 3, Eli basically says, well, okay, tell me everything that God said. And Samuel tells him, and he's like, okay, let it happen, because I've already heard that story. Like, I already know God's going to do that. Like, but a couple of things that we see in this interaction. The first is that it's hard for Samuel to recognize God's voice. God is speaking to him, and Samuel, who is ultimately going to become one of the most significant prophets and judges in Israel's history, certainly the one that leads them through the greatest transformation, doesn't even know it's God. It sounds like the old guy in the next room. Doesn't even recognize it as God's voice. Second thing is when he did encounter God and he actually engaged with it, it really wasn't that remarkable. It was old information, stuff Eli already knew was going to happen. And the other thing is Samuel wasn't told to do anything with it. There was no special call here. It wasn't like, I've got this plan for you. Here's what you're going to do. It's like, oh, hey, just so you know, this is going to happen. Oh, the stuff Eli already knows. Okay. It really wasn't. Outside the fact that God was speaking to him, there wasn't really anything remarkable going on here. I find that interesting because I can relate to, A, having a hard time discerning God's voice. Knowing that God is speaking to me in some way, affirming something in me, telling me something, it can be hard to recognize that it's God speaking up. And sometimes that makes me feel discouraged or like something's wrong with me, and yet maybe it's just normal. Maybe we have to struggle through that. Like, okay, was that you, God? Talking to other people who can affirm or not affirm God's voice. And other times, I don't want to think it's God because, well, that was pretty normal. I can almost use the word mundane, but not in a negative way, just like every day. But maybe, again, that's just it. We expect our encounters with God to be earth-shattering, life-changing experiences, when in the reality, God is present in the active and just kind of normal, everyday realities of life. I guess the third thing about this encounter that I want to highlight, and we don't really see it until you get to the end of the chapter, partway through 19. So for Samuel, this unusual but relatively normal encounter was just the beginning of a lifelong encounter with God. When you get to the end of the chapter, Really, verse 19 says, as Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him. And everything Samuel said proved to be reliable. Yeah, not earth-shaking, but reliable, true. And all Israel, from Dan to the north to Beersheba in the south, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh and gave messages to Samuel there at the tabernacle. This is just the starting place of this lifelong engagement that Samuel has with God. Samuel continues to encounter God throughout his life, and some of what he said and did and heard from God was pretty remarkable. But much of it was simply marked by the fact that, hey, that guy lives in this close relationship with God, where he pays attention and hears God and interacts with God, and he got known for that. A lot of Samuel's experience was simply something that developed over a long journey in context or in relationship with God. Samuel did rise to what was the prominent place as the prophet and judge in Israel. But even there, he got pushed aside for the kings. If you read through the story, they quickly were like, okay, Samuel, like, we know you can hear from God, but we need a king. We need something different than you. Even in that role, he wasn't really considered that special to people. When you read through the books that bear his name, you discover that long before he dies, which happens in 1 Samuel 25, not in 2 Samuel, but in 1 Samuel 25, he's marginalized in the story. We're aware of a few highlights, but most of his life with God is not special enough that we actually have it accounted for us. Most of what he hears from God, most of what he says to God, most of that wasn't considered special enough to be recorded here. What we know is that it was a lifelong thing for Samuel that started with a relatively normal encounter that just woke him up in the night. With no special call, no special message that wasn't out there already, just, hey, Samuel, can I talk to you for a second? That was it. Sometimes we think that the encounter has to be spectacular, rather than leaning into a lifelong encounter that is marked more than anything else by just faithful normalcy over the long haul. I love things like retreats, and we're talking about Inspire and like the event stuff, and there are times where, you know, something happens on a Sunday morning where we really feel like something has shaken. And those things can be fun, but it gets really dangerous when we start to chase that, thinking like that's what life with God is supposed to be like, rather than just living this lifelong, relatively normal encounter with God over the long haul. When Jesus showed up, he didn't say, I've come that you might have a spectacular encounter with me. He didn't say, or even spectacular encounters with me. He said, I've come that they could have life, indeed so that they could have it to the fullest. It's about a full life, not chasing the spectacular, amazing, or even miraculous. And we welcome that when, if it comes, but that's not what we aim for. And life isn't empty without it. In fact, sometimes life feels emptiest because we aren't getting what we're chasing, and because what we're chasing isn't what God actually wants for us. To use a metaphor, like if I need a new car and I set my sights on, you know, the Porsche that I really want, my verse is going to feel a little empty. I talked about this young woman at the beginning of the message, this one who was struggling because she wasn't getting what she was promised. She wasn't getting the special encounters, this like lightning bolt stuff or the stuff jumping out of the pages of Scripture that she had been taught to expect. As we talked, I heard her for quite a while, and then I knew she had a good relationship with her dad. And I said, you know, she was her last year of high school at the time. I said, you know, if your dad one day called you from work and said, hey, I'm going to pick you up, take you out for lunch, you'd be excited about that. She's like, yeah. And if you went out for lunch and you sat together at lunch and you ate and you talked and then he dropped you off at school, but there wasn't anything special in the meal. It was just a regular meal. And he didn't give you some big piece of advice or some grand piece of news or some giant gift. Would you feel like that was a wasted lunch? She thought for a minute. She's like, well, no. Well, why not? Because it's just me and my dad hanging out. I said, you know, maybe that's what happens more often than not when we're encountering God. You're just hanging out with your father. And you don't need that big thing, because over the long haul, that encounter is going to get deep and special and beautiful through those unremarkable times. And if you feel like you have to have this thing every time, then you actually miss out on the beautiful, normal encounters. Samuel's response was simply, okay, speak, I'm listening. And God told him something that they already knew. I wonder if we're willing to just sometimes say, speak, I'm listening, and accept that maybe it's not going to be something groundbreaking that we hear. Are we willing to just sit with our Father, trusting that simply being together with nothing particularly special being shared except time and presence, and letting that be enough? Are we willing to lean into God, not looking for a miraculous encounter filled with wonder and clarity and power? Are we willing to show up, not expecting something groundbreaking on a Sunday morning, just to be together with God's people, accepting this lifelong encounter with the one who is always there for us? If we are open to that, I suspect, can't guarantee, but I suspect that there will be some times where there is wonder and clarity and power. But it's likely not going to come when we're expecting it or aiming for it. It's probably just going to emerge out of the normal stuff of life. As I think about that, did anybody hear about the, I'll use quotes around it at this point, but the revival that took place at Asbury Seminary recently? If you didn't, it was all over the news. Asbury Seminary in Kentucky had what ended up being like a 3 and a bit week chapel session constantly, all day, every day. And it started with a guy who spoke, and when he walked out of his message, he texted his wife about how he had blown it. And he'd be home soon. And he was home soon, but he felt like he had just, like, done a terrible job at his message. And then some people left, and a couple people came back, and, like, a small group of, like, 10 of them just started praying together. This was at a mandatory chapel. Just the normal stuff that was taking place in the life of the school that ended up making national news and thousands of people traveling just to say, okay, God, will you speak to me in this place? Something amazing did happen, but it really flowed out of just the normalcy of stuff. We can aim for stuff, but chances are if we construct it, it's not God. I just hope and pray that you and I, that we can be content with this relatively normal lifelong encounter with the one who says, I love you, and I'm with you, and I will never leave you. And that can be enough. Let's pray. God, thank you that you do love us, that you are with us, that for all our desires for fireworks and spectacular stuff, that we can rest in just knowing you're with us. That we can hear from you, and sometimes it's just a simple message of, you got this, or I love you, or keep going, or hey, you can take care of that. That it's not spectacular, more often than not, it's not spectacular or amazing, it's normal, and that is beautiful. Thank you, God, that you are with us in all of the stuff we are going through every day. Help us to lean into that and just enjoy our time with you. In Jesus' name, amen.